VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, as we observe what is happening in society today, I cannot help but conclude that lawlessness abounds. I mean, just earlier today, a school shooting at Appalachee High School in north central Georgia, about 40 miles northeast of Atlanta. Last report, there were 4 killed, at least 9 injured, with a suspect in custody. But crime and violence is just off the charts. I read stories here recently of ritzy neighborhoods in California falling prey to organized thievery. Smash and grab is now commonplace. Rape and violence is becoming everyday news. Many district attorneys are shirking their responsibilities, allowing violent criminals to walk. Carjackings going on without penalty. Then there's also the impact of illegal immigration that's consuming neighborhoods and whole communities. Illegal drugs are sweeping across the nation. The morality of our nation is being attacked by diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the movement that is pushing this and thrusting this upon the nation. Political animosity is at an all-time high. There are many who want to really, observing all this, and just throw up their arms in despair and just say, I give up. I'm done with this fight. I'm just going into the recess and in protection of my cocoon. I mean, it just doesn't matter anymore. But my friend, as we observe a society that is running amok, it's critical to point out the role and responsibilities of believers today and know that God has us here for such a time as this. Joining us today, we'd like to welcome back to Crosstalk Sam Rohr. He is president of the American Pastors Network. He's a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, where he was chair of the House Finance Committee. He's a speaker on Stand in the Gap Radio and Stand in the Gap Television. Sam, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk.
Jim, it is fantastic to be back with you and your listeners today. So much to talk about.
Yeah, and Sam, I've only delivered but a minute or two here at the beginning of the program as to where we're at in society today. It's not a very pretty picture, is it?
Well, no, it's not, but, you know, kind of like going to a doctor. You go to a doctor when you're sick, and what you do hope is that your doctor actually tells you not what you want to hear, but he tells you exactly the right and accurate diagnosis. And I think what you described is the starting point for really coming to grips with the fact that, yes, our culture has changed in all of these areas and so much more. However, we understand how it has changed and what is wrong with it only when we take it to the Word of God and say, right, what does God say ought to be?
Yeah.
And we compare against that. But at that point, we get the diagnosis, but we also get the prognosis of what we can do about it.
When did we start going off course as a nation?
Oh, Jim, I think it was amazing. I heard a quote the other day of from a judge here in Pennsylvania back in 1812, who in a ruling talked about the major struggles with society at that point in time, and how the decision and the choices were before the American people at that time about how evil was present in society and how those who did not hold the evil needed to understand and respond to it. So I think it's been going on for a long time, but clearly for over a generation in a marked way, I think, in our nation since the days of throwing out the Ten Commandments and prayer by the Supreme Court, those kind of things. Those began to fundamentally alter structurally the laws and the definition of justice in our country, which I think has paved the way for what we now see as lawlessness.
You know, you mentioned that date in the early 1800s, and my mind right away propelled to when President Abraham Lincoln issued this proclamation of prayer and fasting for our nation, and he used the words in that proclamation back in 1863, we have forgotten God.
Yes, he did. And so, you know, in reality, since the beginning of time, it hasn't changed. There have been those who have upheld to the fear of God and keeping his commandments, and mm-hmm. there are those who have rebelled against it. It has ebbed and flowed over time. Our nation has been the recipient of God's blessings, perhaps like no nation, including Israel itself, of old, so we can compare by benchmark with history through our history. However, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And only when people submit their own desires to the law of God will a society not go the way of all flesh.
Sam, there would be those who would say, well, if only we would get the right person in the White House, if only we could get control of this chamber of Congress or in this state house, whatever it might be, then all this would be solved. Is that the case? Is that where our hope lies?
Not at all. And if anybody thinks that, they will be forever disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problems that we're dealing with come and flow out of the heart of man, and only an alignment with the heart of man, with the will of God, can behavior be changed. A politician in office has, frankly, I've been in office. I know there are things that can be done. But in reality, that's not what it is. We've got a spiritual problem, which is fixed only spiritually when an individual in their own heart chooses to respond to the will of God and fear God and keep His commandments, which is the whole duty of man.
Indeed. Friends, we're talking with Sam Rohr today, president of the American Pastors Network, and really taking a look at where we are at in society today and what is the role of believers? What is the role of the church today? I mean, Sam, also just, looking at where we are at, and we know the Scripture holds a high view of life in the womb, and yet we're observing a time when people on both sides of the aisle are attacking life in the womb. Some think, it's okay to do this all the way up to birth. Others think, well, it's okay to kill a child in the womb up to 14 weeks. We really have to go back to what thus saith the Lord is on this issue.
Oh, Jim, I think you're so totally correct. And I think that issue there, I think we can talk probably more about that. But if God's standards of morality and truth are God's standards of moralities and truth upon those we can never compromise. That is what brings us to a real dilemma facing us today, because whether you look at one party or the other, you've got one party who is murder at any time. It's the worshipers of Baal, literally, kill the baby at any time, and the other is murder light, kill them up to 15 months or 15 weeks. And so that is a real dilemma that in some cases we have not faced. And I think it's a challenge before God's people. We've got to work that out because from God's perspective, He doesn't say, kill a little bit, don't murder. I mean, He says, murder, period, no one. So we've got an issue before us, and it's worth discussing.
Yeah, God hates the hands of those that shed innocent blood, we read about as well. And Sam, I know also just one more aspect, and we're going to talk about solutions to this here too, but the impact of the DEI movement, diversity, equity, inclusion, is just impacting the society to a great extent. Our young people are being targeted in schools. We're seeing the decimation of women's sports that are taking place, and what's being thrust in this society today foisting the LGBT movement on this nation. It's something else that is taking us greatly off course.
Well, it is, but, I totally agree. That is absolutely the truth. But, once truth, God being the author of truth, God's word being the written representation of truth, once there is any compromise on God's word, the doors just open up because you really can't slam it shut anywhere down the path. It is no compromise on God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
There cannot be, and what we're talking about now are just unimaginable ways of the depths to which sin can go once we've moved away from what God says to be true.
So the result of this, and we see a society that's run amok and a society that is way off course, but it's the temptation on the part of many, Sam, to just throw one's arms in despair and say, what good does it do? I'm checking out right now. I'm not going to be a participant, in this. And my mind also went back, as I even invited you onto the program here today, to the time of Queen Esther, and in which she was petitioned by Mordecai to go to the king and appeal on behalf of the Jewish people. And Mordecai reminded her that she was there for such a time as this. And I believe there's a parallel that believers need to recognize. We are here for such a time as this.
Well, we know that we are, and whether it be Esther at that point in time, or it be an Enoch alone who walked with God mm-hmm. in his time, or Noah and his family, and he preached for 120 years and nobody listened to him, really it has not changed. God has had his remnant. That remnant's always been a small number, but that is never a basis to be discouraged or to fold our hands and say, well, I can't do anything about it, because in the end, we can't do anything about it anyways. God can do a lot about it when we are obedient and faithful to him.
So, Sam, let's take a look at what is our role, I'm talking about believers in Christ. What is the role and responsibility of believers in such a time as this?
Well, I think there are two things. One, I quoted the one earlier, from an overall perspective, Solomon says, what's the whole duty of man? Fear God. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, because God will bring everything into account one day in the future. That is an important concept. Secondly, New Testament, we are here to be salt and light if we're believers, which means we are to lift up the light. We are light bearers of the gospel. We are sons and daughters of God if we know him. We are adopted children of God. We are ambassadors of Christ, put it in a political sense. Therefore, we are here with a duty. We are here with a task, but we are not here without hope or power. We operate in the power of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when that is the case, and we recognize that, then we are light and we are salt. The results are not up to us. The results are up to God, but we can be faithful, and that's what I want to hear when I stand before the Lord one day.
Do you believe that the church as a whole has lost that focus?
100%. I think the church right now has been far more influenced by the culture than the church has ever influenced our culture. I think that's an easy one to diagnose just by simply look around. The world is in the church. I see very little church in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly we find that when the world gets in the church, it sinks pretty fast. I mean, we can rearrange the decks, the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, but aside from that, we're doomed apart from following the dictates of Scripture.
Well, exactly. I think once we move away, which we have for a long time, the church has, mm-hmm. from the command of making disciples, which is the command in the mm-hmm. Great Commission, to make
right.
disciples. Once we've moved away from making disciples, we become nothing more than a country club, a social gathering, some kind of tickling of the ears, a church of Laodicea of Revelation chapter 3. And I think that describes far more what we see happening today. But that's not all, but I think that's the general condition of the church today. Not hopefully as individuals. We don't have to be where the church is. As individuals, we can be remnant salt and light and be faithful regardless of what organized leaders may or may not.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Sam Rohr is with us today from American Pastors Network, and our topic today is for such a time as this. I mean, we all see and observe what is happening in our society today, and it is very much going a direction that is a counter to biblical truth. And what is our role? What is our responsibility in such a time as this? We have important duties and responsibilities. More on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists say that the biblical flood laid down all the fossils?
No, we don't, Chris. Now, we do think that the flood of Noah's day is responsible for most of the fossils in geologic strata, but certainly not all. We talk about a time of residual catastrophism after the flood, which included the Ice Age. During this time, a lot of fossils were formed. Ice Age fossils would typically lie on top of the flood fossils, which came earlier. Now, of course, there are some fossils being formed today in minor catastrophes, minor floods, minor tsunamis. But these are of local extent, not like the fossils in strata from the flood. Chris, the biblical story of Noah's flood is absolutely essential for a full creation understanding. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
for such a time as this. Our topic today on Crosstalk, Sam Rohr is our guest. He is president of the American Pastors Network and a former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives. Friends, he knows from whence he speaks. I mean, he sat there on the House chamber. He advocated for values and sound fiscal principles and morality, and now leads an organization to guide and encourage pastors around the nation. Sam, for those not familiar with American Pastors Network, give us some information about what you're doing and how individuals can be involved.
Jim, the mission and the focus here is for us, all of us that are on our radio and TV, are pastors called to preach. God called us to be in that position and to lift up the principles and the commandments of God's Word, apply them to the issues of the day, because we do believe that God's Word does speak to all issues of the day, and to use the platform that God has given us to encourage pastors to preach the whole counsel of God, and for people generally to understand that God's Word has the answers and to know how to take and search out the Scripture, find the principle, apply it, fear God, and keep His commandments. That really is what it's about, and we encourage people to pray for us, partner with us, and all of that can be found out on our website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Great, and you've got pastors from around the nation that have, there's chapters of your organization in various states too, correct?
Yep, there are chapters in a number of states, and that's been an exciting thing. Our goal was 13 years ago when we started to have a chapter in every state. That hasn't happened. God has raised up Standard and Gap Radio and TV, though, and has given a platform that speaks to millions across the country, and that's where God has really placed probably the greatest blessing on this ministry, speaking to people not just here in this country, but now in Europe. We're on radio and TV in Eastern Europe, and amazing things. So God moves and puts you where He wants you to go. That's been our commitment. Stand in the gap for truth, God's Word being the truth. Apply the principles. Let the results up to God. He'll take and go with it. We'll do what He wants, and that's how God has worked here.
Amen. Again, friends, the website is AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and you can get more information about the ministry and organization that Sam has been involved in, and certainly gives oversight to this as well. Sam, we're talking about the role, the responsibilities of the church, and you've used terms of, the Scripture does, fear God, keep His commandments. The role of believers in Christ is to go and make disciples. That is what we are charged to do. And yet all of these issues circle around us. You know, we talk about abortion. We talk about the impact of LGBT. We talk about the faucet flowing freely through our borders. And we talk about the increase in crime and everything. When we boil all that down, and you used a term earlier, and I'd like you to speak further to it, you talk about this all being a spiritual issue.
Well, Jim, from the biggest perspective, and again, you talked about worldview. You referenced worldview before. Mm-hmm. We speak a lot about a biblical worldview.
Yes.
Well, in reality, the biblical worldview says that there is God. God is God created. Sin came into the world. God promised a plan of redemption through Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and He came once, and He's now soon coming again. Right? That is that big picture. That is a biblical worldview. There is truth. God's the author of truth. It's in God's Word. It is all there, and it is 100% accurate. All right, now that's a biblical worldview. But anything that weakens any of that and says, well, maybe there's a God. Well, God, not necessarily that we believe that God created, or sin, well, shortcoming, but sin, well, you know, and in any way, explain away any of those fundamental elements. We are now in the realm of what Satan wants us to do, and that is to accept something and pursue something other than that which God has said. So God has laid down a plan for a blessed society. He told Israel, Deuteronomy 28, this is what you do. You fear God and you keep my commandments. I'm going to pour out blessings to you. Well, our founders believe that. God covenanted with Israel. Our founders, earliest ones, covenanted with God. We're not the same as Israel, not at all the same. But they understood that God said, if you fear me and you follow my guidelines, my commandments for civil society, God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, and the things that go along with that, the results of that will be you will be blessed. Well, we have been blessed. All right, well, once that is turned around and people walk away from that and say, we've got a better way, which is exactly what Israel did, then God says, my blessings will turn to cursings. So you look around at all that is happening, and you say, well, at one point, weren't we in this country revered and held in esteem by the nations of the world? We were. Are we now? No. Were we once not a lender to the nations? Yes. But are we not a borrower now of the nations? The answer is yes. We are in debt. Were we, you know, all of the things that you walk down through, what God laid out in Deuteronomy 28, you can apply to us and you say, wow, things really have changed, which brings into that perspective that we no longer care about God. We really don't. We don't. God's not even a part of the discussion today. When's the last time anybody heard anybody, any politician talk about God or judges talk about God or God's law? They used to, but they don't now. So these are part of the things. We were once one place. We are now somewhere else. It's all on worldview, and we no longer have anything even remotely, I'm going to say generally speaking in this country, to a biblical worldview. And frankly, one other thing, even the evangelicals in this country, those who would be say, I am a Christian, of which, according to George Barna's numbers most recently, only 10% would actually be true, a true evangel, a true Bible Christian. So we only got about 10% of people. That means all of the rest of them are holding to positions on morality, be that life or sexuality or things, covetousness or how we view that or lying. All of those things have now flip-flopped so that we have completely, we have a system that is no longer reflective of God's moral law, and therefore we have lawlessness. Anyways, I'll stop there.
Sam, is this an either-or thing or a both thing? I mean, is this either that we're going to, you know, be ambassadors of the truth, or we are, you know, working in the areas of political circles in our culture? Can one do both things as a believer in Christ?
Well, I think the changes by jurisdiction. For citizens, the average person who are not in office, they don't hold a position of civil authority, right? For them, they cannot, they're not going to be held accountable for how they vote on a piece of legislation, for example, or for a judge, how he's going to rule on a ruling. But every individual will give account to God for the choices they make in and every day. Some listening right now may be in a position of authority. Maybe they're an employer, and so they have employees. Well, they are going to be held accountable for things that they're doing policy-wise that affect their employees. Parents are a jurisdiction of authority, and absolutely parents are going to be held accountable to God for what they do in their home relative to the raising in the fear of God their children. So it varies by jurisdiction, Jim, but at the end of the day, we will all give account to God for what we do in this flesh, in this life, which is why Solomon says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, because we will give account to him one day. He will bring everything into judgment with every secret thing. That applies to everybody.
Well, where does prayer and repentance fit into all of this?
Well, for a well, it fits in, I think, from this regard, is that if a person does not, if a person has not already agreed with God relative to God's role and God as the as judge and Jesus Christ as Savior of the world and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ by faith alone, if they have not done that, all these other things will really, really don't work themselves out. That's where they have to start. That vertical relationship must be made right. But for those where that has happened, then it becomes a matter of keeping God's commandments. Am I manifesting, am I upholding God's standards in my heart, the Beatitudes, Christ speaking as you think in your heart, to my actions, those things that my neighbors may see? So it's, I think all often of this, the example I go to a lot is the man Job. In the book, in the first verse of Job, it says, "And there was a man named Job in the land of Uz, and this man was perfect, meaning his heart was right, the vertical relationship with God, perfect, and he was upright, meaning he had a right horizontal relationship with his neighbors."
Mm-hmm.
That is the goal for all of God's people, perfect, upright, clean before God in our heart, and our command, keeping our commands with God, and our horizontal relationships with those around us, perfect and upright. And God recognized that, and so did the devil, frankly.
I'm sure there are those listening right now, it's, but Sam, don't you know if I do that, I'm going to lose my job? Or a pastor listening, if I propel my church into doing this, I'm going to lose my church. I'm going to be out on this. Speak to the individual who just says, "But Sam."
Well, Jim, I think that that scenario has not confronted Americans really. It has from time to time. But certainly it confronted us as a nation, as individuals. I'm going to say coming through the whole COVID circumstance, unlike any time that I can recall,
mm-hmm.
where people were actually threatened with the loss of their job. As we know, I don't have to go into all of that. But
right.
That was a moment in time when many, many people, for perhaps the first time, were confronted with what I feel God would have me to do, or their conscience was rising up on one hand, and yet the order was, you bow down or you lose your job. You bow down, you keep your mouth shut, or something else happens. Ultimately, that is where every believer must be, though. If we have not thought through that circumstance, like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego,
yes.
King, you know, we know who you are, you know who us is, but King, we respect you, but we must obey our God. Kill us if you will, but we will not bow. That, working those kinds of things through, is critical, and I'm thinking, as I look about what we've been through the last 4 years, what is coming before us now, that working out, where do we really believe that God is first, keeping his commandments and keeping them without compromise, and I'm going to do it by faith, God, it's up to you. That is a determination every person must make. We've not had to do that very much, but it is where we must go. Is God really first in my life, or is he not? That's what it ultimately comes down to. Can I trust him? Can I trust God to be God?
Yeah. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is our guest today from American Pastors Network, their website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. We're talking on approaching the topic today for such a time as this, really a call to the church, a call to believers to take a stand, to be salt, to be light, as it boils down, to fear God and keep his commandments. That is the bottom line in all of this. We'd like to open our phone lines today and take your questions here for Sam. Or brief comments. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And we'll be back in just a minute here on Crosstalk on VCY America.
How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman? Maybe in the airport, on a bus, or in your neighborhood store, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I know I should say something, but where do I begin? The Straight Way of Grace Ministry has a small tract booklet that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. A 24-page booklet that seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, revealing convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God, clearly presenting the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ alone. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. One copy is available for a donation of $2, 5 copies for $9, or 10 copies for a donation of $12. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our guest today is Sam Rohr. He is president of the American Pastors Network. You can check it out at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. As we take a look at scriptures and specifically at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Okay, folks, here's the bottom line. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Sam, when we say that word duty of man, define that further for us, if you would.
You know, Jim, duty is one of those words that it's not really a part of current culture. It closely follows the understanding of character, of virtue, of those words that someone say, oh, well, those are old things. Well, no. There may be old words, and I think certainly they're unknown or foreign concepts, but they're not foreign to God, as you just read. Matter of fact, our failure to understand them, I believe, prevents us from properly applying biblical principles. Now, here's the definition of duty, and I love to go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Because that Webster was a believer, and he used a biblical worldview when he did his definitions. Here's how he defines it. It's a duty. That which a person owes to another, that which a person is bound by any natural, moral, or legal obligation to pay or to perform. And then it's a part of the definition of that dictionary. It's certainly not in today's Webster's dictionary. But it says this, obedience and prayer to God are indispensable duties. And when I consider that part, and I defined it earlier about Job understood, and God described it, a vertical relationship that God described as perfect. Job sacrificed daily, regularly for himself and his children, lest they sin against God. That's what it says there. He was very, very concerned about the relationship being right before God because that was the ultimate. But he also, as a result of that, was very careful that his relationship with those around him were reflective of his vertical relationship. He kept God's commandments. And in that regard, here are the three things that helped me to think, Jim, about when I think of duty and obligations, and it's this. One, there's attitude. Attitude is fear God. There's an action associated with that, and that is keep God's commandments. We've talked about those two. And the third one is accountability. God will bring all things into judgment. Now, all of those are right there in the bottom line aspect of what Solomon said. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. There's an attitude, fear God. There's an action, keep God's commandments. And there's an accountability. God will bring all things into judgment. Those are the essential elements, in my mind, of understanding duty. So if I'm concerned about doing my duty to God and my duty to those around me, which every believer has, I'm going to think attitude, fear God, action, keep God's commandments, and accountability. Mm-hmm. God will bring all things into judgment.
Friends, our lines are packed. We're going to pick up calls in order as you call. As soon as we hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity to give us a buzz here as well. We have Mike calling in for Ardmore, Oklahoma. And Mike, you're on the air. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Mike. How are y'all? Hey, I just have a topic that I'd like to discuss. Maybe you can expound on it for me. But what do you think will happen to the churches in this country if they were to pass a law that says we are no longer tax exempt? I am 100% behind the tax exemption, but I think that it will expose the false shepherds and the false believers if they can no longer support their $10, $20 million churches and their lifestyles that they have. I just wonder what you think about that.
Thank you, Mike. Sam.
Well, we have been blessed as a nation and as people by having tax deduction. Would it have an impact if that were to be removed? My guess is probably a significant impact by those who are not, I'm going to say, operating in the fear of God, put it that perspective. But for you and for many listening, myself would be in that category as well. Even if God took away, even if the government took away the ability to deduct my tithe, would I still give? Yes, I still would. And I think the true remnant will, but it would thin out a lot of people, I do believe.
Yeah. Thank you. And by the way, even on that issue with things like the Johnson Amendment are being challenged in court right now as well, and National Religious Broadcasters part of that suit. Clifford is calling from Lucasville, Ohio. Clifford, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yeah, what he's talking about, people don't know what to do and giving up. I think this started back with Obama. You know, a lot of these people don't believe in God anymore anyhow. They're atheists, I think, and our kids have been brainwashed by these professors of evolution, I call it. And I think I heard a guy the other day on King of Kings Radio said that Biden has been successful destroying this country, which I think he's right. Either that or, you know, some people's also stupid, but I think it's part of the communist playbook. They want it to get so bad, allowing, you know, crime and everything come across the border and all mm-hmm. that the people will finally just give up their hands and say, government, come and save us.
Yeah.
And when they do, that's when we'll lose our freedoms and civil liberties, and the government will be in control then.
Yeah, thank you for the comments, Sir Clifford. I'm going to have Sam comment. I will point out, though, that long before Barack Obama, there were things that were going on. As Sam, it was the early 60s that we threw prayer out of the schools, and the early 70s that we sanctioned the killing of the preborn children, and on it goes. We can go back further, and we see the secularism that invaded through the educational system as well. So it's been going on for quite some time. But your comment to our caller here.
Well, you know, you're totally right, Jim. And even as you quoted and referred to Abraham Lincoln, back at the point of the Civil War, he acknowledged that we cared not for God.
Mm-hmm.
And he pleaded with the American people. You know, even at that point in time, God allowed a civil war to come to America. And I'm going to say because we did not eliminate slavery fast enough, perhaps. But there was a sinful attitude of the people. But here's the point I want to bring up to what the caller just said, is that God told Israel, and by application to us as well, that when God brings blessing on a nation, which he obviously did on our nation, obviously brought blessing untold on our nation, God told Israel, us by application, that when I pour out my blessings, and you get to the point where you think that you got by your own hands, and you cut me out of the picture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said, I'm going to turn those blessings into judgment and remove them. The heart of that was being grateful, at which point any person, any nation, any people ceases to be grateful and to cut out the fact that what we have, all that we have that is good, comes from God, and we think that it came from our own hands.
Yeah.
We have ceased to be grateful, and with it, we have become now idolatrous because mm-hmm. we're making ourselves God rather than God, and God turns the hand of blessing. That is what I think we are seeing in America, not so much that individuals in position of government have made America lawless. No, I don't think that's the case at all. Our people collectively have become ungrateful, cut God out of the picture, and as part of God's judgment, he says, I will allow those good things I did for you to be removed. That's what I think we are seeing.
And Sam, that's how that Romans 1 generation started out. I mean, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God,
yes.
Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And that lack of gratitude and knowing who God is, I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar, before he was eating grass like an ox, he said, isn't this the great Babylon that I have built? You know, we put ourselves in place of God and the work that he has done. We have forgotten God. That's what happened to the people in Judges chapter 2, verse 10 as well, where you know, the people had just proclaimed, as for me and my house will serve the Lord. They agreed with Joshua on that. And then a generation came after them that knew not God.
I think that's exactly the parallel. And that's when, again, how can we say what you just said with confidence? Well, because God said that.
Yeah.
That's his pattern. And we either observe and follow God's pattern, fear God, keep His commandments, or we do it our own way. Well, we do it our own way, I can guarantee the results. And that what we are seeing is us doing things our way, having cut God out for well over a generation.
Our next caller is Dave in Phoenix, Arizona. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, Sam and Jim. I'm thankful that you're talking about the commandments, and that's one of the things that's not being taught, it seems like, in any of the churches. And if we go to 1 John chapter 3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So anyway, I'm just a proponent of keeping the commandments, and I'd like to get Sam's point on the fourth commandment, which men have changed from worshiping on the Sabbath to worshiping on the first day of the week.
Okay. Has the church gone off course by honoring the Lord's Day, Sam?
Well, in principle, absolutely. Obviously, you know, what God said by keeping that resting on that seventh day was a pattern for all mankind, for all time. It was not Jewish. It was not Christian. It was humankind. God rested. He set a pattern. And then along come the Ten Commandments. And for Israel, he said, on the seventh day. That changed with the New Testament and the church beginning to worship on the first day of the week because of the resurrection of Christ. But I do believe, and personally, I do believe that that principle of observing God's day, both as a testimony to the world around us, as well as in our own hearts, recognizing and worshiping, doing things differently than the other days of the week, is the pattern that that carries throughout. And anyways, we could go much deeper on that, but all of those things. So even of those commandments, you have the Ten Commandments, but the John reference, it's not just those Ten Commandments. It's the broader aspect of the commandments, because when Christ came and did the Beatitudes, he went down through all of those ten, and he took them all to the heart and said, but if you think in your heart and you're angry with a brother unjustified, you've committed murder. If you've lusted after someone else in your heart, you have murdered. So God took those commandments to prove the point that nobody can keep them, and that as God's people who are redeemed, if we put our faith and trust in him, we must understand that we cannot live the Christian life without the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit, but it will never happen unless we choose to fear him and keep his commandment, all of them, the whole counsel of God. That's why pastors in the pulpit are to preach the whole counsel of God, all of the body of truth that God has given.
We've got to take a quick break here. Sam and Chippewa Falls, stand the line. You'll be right after the break, and other callers as well. Stay with us here, Susan and Scott and Vivian. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohrer is our guest. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, his website. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. In 1994, my friend G. Edward Griffin wrote a book every American should read. It is just a little over 600 pages. The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. Of course, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. And as you read this book, you find out that so much of what we now know openly about our corrupt federal government, well, it has been under the surface for a long time, with a small voice of warriors warning, watchmen giving an alert to the fact that we've been infiltrated from within. In fact, many presidents even warned. The Federal Reserve, it's a scam from the word go. Creating money out of thin air, Federal Deposit Insurance Company or corporation is not insurance at all. That's a scam. It is guaranteed to steal from the American people and create a crisis that can be exploited by the same people that created the Fed. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and let's get right to Sam in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Sam, thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I was wondering, in Genesis, where it says that the time of the end with the imminent return of Yeshua coming, that things will be much worse than they are. And I see now today already we have a school shooting in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Just started up, and I just see people think the government can take care of that, and they're totally helpless to do that.
Certainly. These are perilous times, and we referenced that at the beginning of the program, Sam, to Sam Rohr, what we're seeing take place and this escalation in violence and lawlessness taking place, some would compare this to labor pains.
Jim, I would, too. I would, too. I mean, we know that we are in the window with the Lord's, with the rapture and the tribulation period and Lord's second coming close at hand, because Israel's back in the land. The land's been, you know, the nation's been rebirthed, and the people are being recalled, and the nations are aligning. We know that that is the case because of that. So we're in a window that our predecessors looked forward to. We're now here. And one of the things that the Lord made very, very clear was that he did compare it to birth pangs. And these evidences, the earthquakes, the pestilences, the alignment of the nations, the hostility toward the Jewish people, the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2 about the nation, the leaders of the world lifting their fist in arrogance against the God of heaven, his anointed, being Jesus Christ, and Christians and the Jewish nation, all anointed and chosen by God. When these things begin to happen, and you see them, these evidences converge and increase in intensity and frequency,
mm-hmm.
which is what happened to labor pain, then we know that we are approaching that time, that birth. And that, I believe, under any circumstance, these things that we're talking about now have never been in this fashion with basically all the pieces that the Lord has told us to look forward to, all on the table moving at one time. That's what makes these days so significant.
Sam in Chippewa Falls, thanks for the call. We're going to move to Susan in Phoenix, Arizona. And Susan, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Susan, go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. I'm calling because, first of all, I don't have the internet, and I don't have any way of getting his website. Does he have an 800 number that I can call, or any number I can call to talk to Sam Rohr personally?
Well, I can give your I can give you the office of our number, and then we can get back with you. If you're able to write it down, I'll give it right now. 610-901-3607. 610-901-3607.
Great.
610-901-3607. I have a personal problem, and I would like to talk to somebody there about getting some help from a pastor.
Okay. And thank you so much, Susan. And often, too, we'd certainly like to connect you with a local church in your area, Phoenix, Arizona, to connect you with a Bible-believing pastor. And I know, Sam, that's where your heart beats as well, is to get people engaged in their local church.
Absolutely. And it may be possible, ma'am, for you to contact Jim. He may have a better connection there in Phoenix than even what I do, but feel free to call that number.
Great. Thank you so much. Scott in Clarksburg, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yeah, in Daniel 2, it talks about how the clay and the iron of the toes of the statue, how they combine together in the seed of man, but they would not adhere to one another, just as iron will not adhere to pottery. Like our Constitution, like John Adams says, was made for moral and religious people. It was wholly unfit for a people of any other.
Mm-hmm.
So in Old England, they had the elections before the Protectorate. They established what would be the Fifth Monarchy. It was called the Nominated Assembly, where the gathered churches voted. And we have a First Amendment in this country.
Sure. We do, Scott. I'm not sure where you're going with all the comments, because what we see in the 10 toes and the image that was set up there is not referring to some of the areas that you talked about there. But we do. There is an accurate quote from a founder about this Constitution being made for moral and religious people. And Sam, we have so far wandered from that.
Well, we have, and one of the things, even coming out of Pennsylvania, where I live, William Penn, who was viewed as the father of the founder, made it very, very clear, and the others agreed with him. He said, unless our citizens voluntarily submitted themselves to the Ten Commandments of God, and those in office also did the same thing, we could not ever, as he said, experience the reality of this holy experiment in freedom. And that is where we got. So now we've thrown out the Ten Commandments. We don't even reference any of the Ten Commandments. And yet we think that somehow we're going to continue to get God's blessing. It's not possible. Our founders understood it. That is what we need to, which is the emphasis again. Fear God and keep His commandments, all of Scripture, or God cannot bless.
We're going to squeeze in.
And He will bless.
We're going to squeeze Vivian from Peebles, Ohio. Vivian, you're on the air.
What I want to say today is I thank the good Lord for the Lord's Prayer, and I pray it.
Yeah, indeed, and it's a wonderful model for us, Vivian, in recognizing who God is. His name certainly is to be glorified, and we are dependent upon Him.
Yeah, and another thing, I just want everybody to pray that the Lord will help them to help somebody else to mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know I don't talk to nobody unless it's laid on me, and I always ask the Lord to give me the words to say.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you very much. And Jesus said to love others as I have loved you. Thank you for that. And Sam, we need to get back to that that aspect, having a genuine love for one another as Christ has loved us.
Absolutely. We love others. We love Christ because He first loved us. Mm-hmm. We demonstrate our love for Him by loving others, and that's a part of the Christian example. Part of being a disciple is to understand that we are to reflect the attitude and the commands of our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be His name. And when we do that, we are then salt and light. And for such a time as this, as you started the program, we will be there and do what the Lord wants us to do for such a time.
Amen. Amen. Sam Rohr from American Pastors Network, their website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Jim.
And friends, thank you for joining us on the program today. And let's remember that duty of man, that attitude to fear God, that action, keep His commandments, and certainly the accountability that's there as well. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.